Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Chaf Aleph. Now we had already done the very last lines on Chaf Omid Beis, but we're going to pick up again two lines from the bottom on Chaf Omid Beis by the two dots. Learning today the Ilui Nishmas Jay Weinstein's mother. Jay has been a long time attendee at the shiur, and his mother's neshamas have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin two dots Chaf Omid Beis. Today, there's a handout that will be very, very critically important to help you follow the shiur. Please download it from the YU Torah app. It will really, I think, make the ability to follow the shiur today possible. Otherwise, it will be extremely difficult to do this without having some sort of a diagram in front of you. Okay, so we begin. Itmar. We said this yesterday. Bias Kohen Gadol bi'almona. If the Kohen Gadol does, in fact, do Yibam with the Almona. Now, we said yesterday he's not allowed to, for various reasons. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go and do Yibam with his brother's wife, Nebuch Ruvain Kohen. His wife is now falling Yibam after he dies childless to Shimon. Shimon is the Kohen Gadol. So, Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, is not allowed to do Yibam. He does Chalitza with the Almona of Ruvain. But there's a machlokis over here as to what happens if he did Yibam. He did in fact bias Kohen Gadol be Almona. So Yochanan ben Belozer, Chad Amar Eino Poteres Sarasa, V'Chad Amar Poteres Sarasa. So there's a machlokas over here between Yochanan ben Belozer. Does the bia, does the yibum that he did, in fact function as a halachically valid yibum, and now she is his wife and requires a get to go free? Or, in fact, this is nothing, and the co-wife over here requires chalitza, because, in fact, the yibum that was done to the Almona is ineffective, and therefore one of the other brothers is going to have to do chalitza with the other co-wife, or the Kohen Gadol himself can do chalitza with the other co-wife. Now, we turn to Chof Aleph, Omer Aleph. The machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Lozar is not in regards to bialmonim in hanisuin. In regards to bialmonim in hanisuyim, kuliam lo pligi, there is no machlokas over here. Both Rav Yochanan and Lozar agree, the lo patra, it doesn't work. The yibum that he did on the almona, that was an almona from an actual full-fledged marriage, so Reuven had consummated the marriage, they'd lived together, and therefore this is not going to be an effective yibum here. Why? Because the ain ase dochelos ase v'ase, as we pointed out yesterday. You have the ase of yibum, but it cannot push aside the los ase of almona los yikach, and bisula yikach le'isha. So she has two negatives against her. She is an almona, and she is not a basula. So this is an asay and a los asay that would have to be negated, and an asay of Yibam cannot negate both a los asay and an asay. So everybody agrees that the almona, if it was an almona from Nisuin, that Yibam to her would be ineffective. Be'ila to her would be ineffective. Where they have the machlokas of Yochanan Belozer, Ki Pligi, we don't know which one said which, but one of them said from the Almona Min Erisin, if Reuven was only married the first stage of marriage, he only had Kiddushin, he only had Erisin, the first stage of marriage, he never consummated the marriage, so then there's only one Lo Saseh, Almona Lo Sikach. There is no problem over here, she is still a Basula, so he is in fact accomplishing Basula Mi'amavi Kachi Shah. So therefore, in this situation, do we say the ase is docha the los ase? The ase of Yibam is docha the los ase of Almona los yikach. So one opinion, we don't know whether it's a Rochen or a Lozuman, the Omar Poteris, one says that, yeah, that Bila, that Yibam does in fact work to pater both her and the other Almona from needing any sort of Yibam or Chalitza further. Also, ase, the docha es los ase. That's because the ase of Yibam was docha the los ase of Almona los yikach, and therefore this was an effective Yibam, and she would need a get now to get out of that marriage, and the tzara goes scot-free at this point. Uman the Yom Eino Bateris, with the other opinion, either again Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Lozer, says that no, it doesn't work. Why? Because lo ase ase, v'doche es lo ase. Here, the ase of Yibam does not knock aside the lo ase of Amon lo sikach. Why? Because there's an alternative option, kivan the efshe b'chalitza. As we pointed out yesterday, we don't say that an ase is docha lo ase if there was an alternative. It's only when there's no alternative. And here there's an alternative. You could do chalitza to the almona. Why did you do Yibam? Yibam, therefore, is not an ase docha lo ase. So that's the machlokas between Yochanan and Lozer. Meisri, the Gemara questions this. We just said in yesterday's Shia, in Ba'alukanu, it said Beferish in the Brisa that all the situations where the Isurei Mitzvah or Isurei Kedusha, that if in fact Yibam took place, it is effective. In Balu, if they had relations with the Yavama, so then that makes an effective acquisition. In fact, now that Almana is married to the Yavam, albeit it is an inappropriate relationship, it's either an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedushin, but in fact, that is going to be a valid marriage. And therefore, it said Beferish that in Balu Konus, this is a kasha on the opinion that says that it's not an effective bia. So it says Tiyuftu, you're right, this schlugs up either the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan or Elazar, whichever one said that it's not Kona. It is Kona. So therefore, the Brisa clearly shrugs up the Amoric opinion that said it's not Kona. Tiyuftu. Okay. Moore says, let us say not only is this schlugging up Yochanan or Elazar, it also should schlug up what Rish Lakish had said yesterday. Let us therefore say, Lemo to heavy Nami to Yofta the Rish Lakish. This should slug up Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said yesterday that when you had an alternative, such as doing Chalitza, so then the assay is not Docha the Los Assay. Well, here, even though there is an alternative doing Chalitza, the assay is Docha the Los Assay based upon this Brisa. So it should not only be a Tiyufta to the opinion that said Rav Yochanan or Elazar, it should also be a Tiyufta to Rish Lakish. So no, Rish Lakish would say no. I'm still okay. Amalach Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish would respond, and he would tell you, Ki Amino, when I said, I know my statement that the assay is not Docha the Los Assay, if there's an alternative, that's only if the alternative is to do the mitzvah. Hecha the Makaybi mitzvah. You could do the assay without transgressing the Los Assay, so then the assay is not Docha the Los Assay. But here, there's no way to do the assay, Yibam, without being Docha the Los Assay. Are you going to tell me Chalitza? Avohocha, Chalitza, Bimkom Yibam, Lab Mitzvahi. Chalitza is a Ptur. Yes, when you can't do Yibam, you don't want to do Yibam, so Chalitza will matter the woman to be Muteris Lashuk, that she can now go get married to somebody else. But there's no mitzvah in doing Chalitza. The mitzvah was Yibam. And therefore, there is no effective way, Reish Lakish says, to do the Assay without being over the Los Assay. Don't tell me do Chalitza, that's not doing the assay. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, this Brisa is not a Tiyufta to me, because my opinion still is, if you can't do the assay in any other way, so then the assay is Docha Los Assay. But doing Chalitza is not doing the assay. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, the Brisa poses no problem to me. Now the Gemara is going to go through four shitos as to where we get the idea that the shnios that we had discussed yesterday, and we're going to discuss in much greater detail today, what's the source in the Torah for the rabbis instituting the shnios, which are Isurim Derabban. So I'm a Rava. Rava gives us the first one. Remez l'shnios minatorminayim. Where's an asmachta? Where's there an allusion in the Torah to this concept that the rabbis set up that certain women are forbidden because shnios le'arayis, because the primary Erva was an Issa Daraisa, and the rabbi said, if we don't set up these additional women as being also precluded from engaging in marriage with them, you're going to end up Chas V'Shalom being over the primary Arayas, and therefore they set up these Shnios L'Arayas as safeguards, rabbinical safeguards, Asusiyog LaTorah, and they put in these safeguards to protect the primary din of the Torah. So Rava says, what's the allusion, what's the asmachta to this from the Torah? So Rava's opinion is, Shemai, the Pasuk says, Ki has kol ha-toevos ha-el. They did all of these horrible abominations. It uses the Lashon Ha'el, these, as opposed to Ha'ela, which would have a hey at the end of the word. Asuan Shi'aretz. That's what the people in the land did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they did all these horrible abominations. And the rest of the apostles said, Asher lefneichem atid ma'aretz. And it impurified the land. It defiled the land. Now, this word Ha'el is to teach us kashos, that there are terrible abominations, implying Miklal de Ikarakos, that there also are less strict abominations. Umay nihu, and what are these less strict abominations? Umay nihu, shnios. These are the shnios l'arai. So this is an asmach, the Rava says, to the idea that there should be rabbinical prohibitions in addition to the stricter midaraisa prohibitions. So the Gemara says, Umay mashma dehoel. How do we know that the word dehoel is lishno dekashahu, is a stricter abomination? Where do we see this language, Ha'el, seems to imply a stricter, harder type of abomination? So where it says, no, because we have another pasuk from Yecheskel, it says, Ves Eile Ha'aretz Lokach. Nebuchadnezzar, Russia, took the Eile Ha'aretz, the strong, the powerful people of the land, he took them into Galus. So you see that the Lashon Eile is a Lashon of Kasha, of strong. So therefore, from leaving out the hay, it implies that there is a lesser abomination, and those are the allusion to the Shneos of the Arayas. That's Rava's understanding. Gemara says, Lema pligi the Rav Levi. This understanding of Rava seems to go against what Rav Levi said. What did Rav Levi say? The Amar Rav Levi, Rav Levi had said, Kosha onshin shel midos yosem yonshin shel arayas, that the severity of the transgressions of midos, of having improper measures, of cheating somebody. You think you're selling them a pound. They think they're buying a pound of the item, and you're really only selling them 15 ounces. You're cheating. Your weights are inaccurate. So that punishment for inaccurate measures is actually a greater punishment, is a stricter, more severe isser than that is the punishment for the arayas, for doing sexual immoralities. Improper measures are stricter, are a more kosher than the arayas. And where do we see this from? Rav Levi said, Shazen emar bohen el. By the arayas, it said, Hatoivos ha el. As opposed to by the measures, by improper measures, improper midos, Shazen emar bohen ele. By the improper measures, it says the word ele. Ki tovas Hashem lokecha kol ose ele. Called Ose Ovel. Somebody who does improper measures, that is a person who is doing a more terrible thing than somebody who is doing the arayis. So how can you tell me that Ho'el, these without the hay, is strict? You see that it's not as strict as with the hay. So Gemara says, no, that's not a kasha. Rav Levi and Rava don't disagree. El is kasha, but Ve'ele is even more kasha than El. So therefore, both of them are kosher, just Ela is even more kosher than Ale. And the Gemara says, "Makabi Arayis Nami Hoksiv Ela." By the Arayis, it also says, "Ki Kol Asher Yesem Lachol Tovos Ela V'Nichrutzu." So it also uses the lashon of Ha'Ela even by the Arayis. How can you tell me that the measures punishment is stricter than the Arayis punishment? So the Gemara says, "No. The reason why it says." Ela by the arayas is how limute midos mikares. You might have thought otherwise that you get kares. If a person has improper measures, he sells a pound and he only gets 15 ounces, he should be chayiv kares. So it says these and only these, kikola sher yesem, kikola toyo so elu, only these inappropriate sexual immoralities. If you do them, the nichrusu, you get kares. Implication being that by the ela that is found by the midos, you don't get kares. The Gemara asked the obvious question. In that situation, Ela, Ma'ichum Rayu. So then, where do you see that the measures, the punishment for the measures is stricter? The severity of the illness of inappropriate measures is stricter than the severity of the illness for inappropriate sexual relationships. So, if you're telling me that by the relationships, the sexual immoralities is a chiyuv of kares, and by the measures is not a chiyuv of kares, well, which one do you think is stricter? So how can you tell me that measures are stricter? Kosha on shishol midos, yosem yon shishol arayis. How can you tell me that? So Gemara says, no. The answer is very simple. Hani efshor b'tshuva. Hani lo efshor b'tshuva. When a person commits, rachmona lutzlan, a sexual immorality, unless there is a child born, and then this is ma'uves shloi chol isake, that if you have a child born, so the child's a mamzer, there's no way to correct that. But if no child is born, so then a person can do tshuva. And even if a child is born, you can do tshuva, but you can't ever correct the fact that you created a mamzer. But let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, Reuven commits a sexual immorality with Rachel, so both of them can do tshuva, and they can atone for their terrible misdeed. But how do you atone for a terrible misdeed of cheating the entire town for all these years by giving them 15 ounces instead of a full pound? So therefore, you're stuck, and you can never atone for that. Many suggest, and the Gemara itself tells us in other places, so when you cheated the town, so go build something for the town. You have to go and make up to all the town. You don't know which individuals you cheated from, so do something for the town. So, for example, it says, go build a mikvah for the town. This way, everybody in the town will benefit, and it's this way you're giving back to all those people, but it's still not the same thing, because you can't guarantee that you're really going to return the money. The Heshev is a gzela asher goza. You can't guarantee that you'll have given it back, and therefore, that's why the onshin shel midos is yosemi onshin shel arayos, because of the inability to do a full tshuva of the Heshev Esagzela by the Midos, whereas you can do a full tshuva by the Arayas. There's a very interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Zatzal. He just had the 36th anniversary of Rav Moshe's Patira. So certainly Kedai to say over another Vart. It's always Kedai to say over Vart for Rav Moshe. So they asked Rav Moshe this question. The person cheated, and he wants to make it up, and he donates the mikvah. Can you put up a plaque on the mikvah saying, Yankel donated the mikvah? So Rav Moshe said in his very beautiful way, he said, yeah, you can put up a plaque, but you have to say, why are you putting up the plaque? You say, I cheated the community for all these years, and therefore this is my way of trying to do tshuva. Says that type of a plaque you can put up. Okay. Rabbi Huda Amar number two, reason number two. why we have a smachta to the shnios l'arayis in the Torah. And he says, mehoch, it's from this pasuk, the izain the chiker tikein mishalom harbi. This is talking about Shlomo Melech, and this is a pasuk from Koheles, and it tells us as follows. It says, since Shlomo Melech was so smart, he was so brilliant, so he was able to go and make ozen, these handles. Ozen is like a handle on a cup, on a mug. And he was able to go and make many mishalim and make many things easily understandable by the people. So how do we understand this pasuk from the end of Koheles? Kodem Shabbat Shlomo, before Shlomo Melech came along, the Torah was comparable to a basket, Shein Lo'oz Nayim, that didn't have handles on it, so people didn't fully understand it and were able to follow it. Along comes Shlomo Melech, Shabbat Shlomo Melech, V'Osa Lo'oz Nayim. He came along and made handles for us to be able to better understand the Torah. So in this situation, Rashi says, the Lo'oz Nayim, Shel Kupa, Le'echos Bem HaKupa, U'mishtamerech Lo'tipo. We make the handles on the basket, so you're holding the basket straight. Things don't fall out of the basket. So to over here, by making the shnios l'arayis, misrachakin min arayis, these secondary preventions of saying this woman is also will make a person stay far enough away that Rachmana Litzlan, he won't be over a primary erva isra midaraisa. That's reason number two for the shnios l'arayis. Reason number three, Rav Hoshaya Omar Mihocha. Rav Hoshaya brings this pasuk. Again, all of these opinions aren't mutually contradictory. They're just different sources for why the rabbis made this din d'rabbanan. Could be all of them are correct. Rav Hoshaya Omar Mihocha, he says the following pasuk. This pasuk from Mishlei tells us, Pira'ehu, Rashi says Pira'ehu is a lashon of Hagilehu, open it up and reveal, Al Tavorbo, don't do any of these isurim. Sitei may olav, go and turn away, avar, and pass, and go by, and don't do these isurim. So, what is this talking about? This is saying, go and set up safeguards over here that you shouldn't be over the primary arayis, so therefore, the rabbi should set up shnios l'arayis. And to better understand this, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Moshal de Rabbi Yoshaya, this statement that Rabbi Yoshaya made could be compared to the following Moshal. What's this analogous to? The Adam Mishamer Paradis, a person who is a shomer, he's a guard on an orchard, on a field, right? Mishamro Mibachutz, if he stands outside before the entrance to the field, so then Kula Mishamer, he's able to adequately protect the whole field. There's apparently only one entrance into the field, into this orchard, and therefore if he stands right in by the entranceway, nobody can get in, and he's able to adequately guard it. However, Mishamro Mibifinim, if he goes inside, so then he's only going to be able to protect certain areas, because once they're inside, they could go around him. So So again, whatever he sees right in front of him, he's able to protect, but everything else around him, behind him, he's not able to protect. So therefore, Rav Ashi is telling us that Rav Hoshaya is saying, if you set up these safeguards, these shnios l'arayis, you won't transgress the primary erva, the primary arayis that are in Isra d'arayisa. However, this analogy is a little schwach, the Gemara says, v'hod Rav Ashi bedusahi. This analogy, this marshal that Rav Ashi had set up, the Gemara says is in fact bedusahi. It's a joke, it's incorrect, it's a mistake, it's a shibush. Because in his analogy, it doesn't give you the full strength of the power of the shnios l'arayis. Because Hossam, in the situation that Rav Ashi said, the guard is standing watch, the shomer is standing outside, Hossam shalafon of miyam mishtamer. When he goes inside, he is able to protect at least the stuff in front of him. Hocha, if you don't have the shnios l'arayis, ilav shnios b'arayis, if the rabbis hadn't set this up, poga b'erva gufa, this would lead to terrible trouble all over the place. You would, rachmon l'tzlan, end up being boel the primary erva, the primary arayis, if you didn't set up the shnios l'arayis. So therefore, Rav Ashi is not strong enough. He seems to imply that you'd get some benefit even without the shnios l'arayis, and the bottom line is the shnios l'arayis are so important, therefore, the Gemara doesn't seem to like Rav Ashi's moshul so much. Okay. That's the third source, Rav Hoshaya. And the fourth and final source that we have for why the rabbi set up the shnios l'arayis comes from Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana Amar Mihochi said this pasuk. Pasuk says from Vayikra, we'll have it not in this week's parasha, but in the upcoming parashios, where we're taught, Ushmartim is mishmarti. You set up a shmira for my mishmarti, for the things that I told you that you have to protect. In other words, Asu Mishmeres, make a Dirabanan, a Siog, L'Mishmarti, to the D'Arayis. So this is what Rav Kahana says is the source for the rabbi setting up the Shnios L'Arayis, the Isu Mitzvah. Allah Abayla Yosef, Abayla questions this, and he says to Rav Yosef, but Ha D'Arayisahi, this Pasuk says, Asu mishmeres lemishmarti ushmarti mismishmarti. So that's a din daraisa. So why are you telling me that shneos larais are derabanan? It seems that they're really a daraisa. So that's what Abai says to Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana is wrong. So Rav Kahana would answer, or Rav Yosef answered on behalf of Rav Kahana, daraisa upirshu rabbanan. Yeah, it is a din daraisa, but the specifics of it, that's the din derabanan. The rabbis, the rabbanan, explain what they're going to do to fulfill this pasuk ushmarti mismishmarti. The Gemara says, if that's the case, then call a Torah Nami Pirshu Rabbanan. Then every single din de Rabbanan is really a daraisa. If you're saying Ushmarti Mishmarti, every siyog that the rabbis do would have to be considered then a daraisa. Call a Torah Nami Pirshu Rabbanan. Everything that the rabbis explain is based upon Ushmarti Mishmarti. So is every single din de Rabbanan really a din daraisa? The Gemara says, no. Rav Kahana is telling us over here, Rav Kahana Omar from this pasuk, Ushmarti Mishmarti, it's all de Rabbanan, it's element de Rabbanan, and Ukras Smach de Biyama. The pasuk is giving us a general principle. Rabbis set up safeguards, but when the rabbis set them up, they're all the rabbanans and they're not the araisas. So these are the four reasons, sources for this idea that the rabbi should set up shneos lo arayas. And now we'll introduce this discussion of the shneos lo arayas. And I strongly suggest that you follow along with the handout that is attached to the shir. You download the handout and it will, I believe, make your life tremendously easier in understanding this Gemara. I will suggest that you ignore the one big diagram that they have in the art scroll. While the art scroll diagrams are normally phenomenal, I would suggest that follow along with me. You can take a look at the art scroll diagram afterwards when you're chasering this, but follow along with me. Don't try to follow along with the art scroll diagram because I'm going to constantly be referring to my diagrams, and I'm going to have six separate smaller diagrams rather than the one big diagram that the art scroll has. My diagrams here actually preceded the publication of the art scroll Gemaras. This was from the first cycle that I gave to Daf Yomi many, many years ago. And in general, I don't try to repeat what the art scroll has if they have good diagrams, but I think here you'll find my diagrams to be very helpful in understanding this. So we begin the sugya of Shneos L'Arayis, which we'll go into tomorrow's shir as well. Tana Rabbanan. The rabbis taught the Shneos L'Arayis in the following braisa. Mohem Shneos. What are the Shneos L'Arayis? So the first six that we're going to mention over here don't require any diagrams. They're very easy to follow and understand. They didn't put them into the diagrams not to confuse people. So the first secondary arayis, the Shneos L'Arayis that we list, are the Aim Emo and the Aim Oviv. This is the grandmother class. Now, surprisingly, only the mother is usher on a daraisa level. But one's grandmother is technically not usher on a daraisa level to marry. And therefore, the rabbi said, if we allowed a person to marry their grandmother, this could very, very easily lead to a person marrying their mother. So therefore, the rabbi said that Aim Emo, your mother's mother, and the Aim Oviv, your father's mother, in other words, your two grandmothers, are forbidden as arayas. As Rashi points out over here in Dibro Maskel Aim Emo, Emo Ksiva, obviously the mother's written in the Torah, she's a forbidden Issa Daraisa. The Gozrabon and the rabbis therefore set up the Shneos L'Arayis Al Aim Emo on the mother's mother. Why? Kadesh Oyif Kabimo, because if you forbid the grandmother, that will make sure that you don't, Rahman al-Islam, think that the mother is permissible in any way, and this is a safeguard. And then they made an additional gzeira from the father's mother. The Gazrunami, they made an additional gzeira. We'll see in a moment why it's not gzeira l'gzeira. The Gazrunami, the Aim Aviv, on the father's mother, your paternal grandmother. Why? Mishum Aimimo. Not because of the mother, but because of the mother's mother. So it seems to be, I forgot the gzeira l'gzeira, you asked the paternal grandmother because of the maternal grandmother, and she was also only as a gezeira for the mother, so it looks like it's a gezeira l'gezeira, but the Gemara says no. We're going to have later in the Gemara today on the Omid Beis that both of them are called grandmother. Mishum de Tavayu Ema Rabsa. They're both called the great mother, the grandmother, so therefore that's why they're called Ema Rabsa Kari Luhu, and therefore they're both considered one gezeira grandmother. So these are the first of the two Shneos L'Arayis. Very simple. It's going to get a little bit more complicated, but first we'll have another couple of easy ones. Another set of Shneos L'Arayis are the Eshes Avi Oviv. Now, Avi Oviv is your grandfather, so it's your grandfather's wife, but she's not your grandmother. So the Eshes Avi Oviv, Rashi points out, this is Mishum Eshes Oviv Haksuva, the primary Erev over here, the Araisa, Arias is your father's wife when it's not your mother. Obviously, if it's your mother, it's a separate issue. But here's your father's wife, your father married to somebody else other than your mother. Second marriage. So the prohibition against the grandfather's wife comes from the prohibition, midaraisa, of the father's wife. So the rabbis added along the grandfather's wife, Eishes Avi Aviv. And then they added on, as a gezerah, to Eishes Avi Aviv, they added on the Eishes Avi Imo, your maternal grandfather's wife, who's not your grandmother. So your mom's father's wife. He has a wife that's not your mom's mother. And therefore, that woman is your maternal grandfather's wife. And that is a gzeira again, or seemingly so. And Rashi explains here too. V'afo gav de eishes avi imo, your maternal grandfather's wife, is a gzeira. Mishum eishes avi ovid is a gzeira because of the paternal grandfather's wife. And that was a shnios larayis to the eishes aviv. Nevertheless, again, since both of them are called grandpa, the Tarvayu, both of them are referred to as Abba Rabba, the great father, the grandfather, Karilu. So therefore, Hilka Chodahu, it's considered one Zera, and therefore, these two are also the grandfather, whether it's maternal or paternal. Both of their wives are considered Shnios Larayas to protect the primary erva of your father's wife, who's not your mother. Okay, those are the first four, piece of cake. Now it gets a little bit more complicated, and now you're going to start referring to my sheet. And we'll look at diagram number one on my sheet. The Eishes Achi Ho'av Min Ho'em. Now, just to understand my diagrams, the circle that has the dot in it, that's the Erva, the Shnios, Midrabanan that we're referring to. The black box with the X in it, that's the primary person who we're referring everything to, his Eishes Achi Ho'av Min Ho'em. The one that have an X in the circle, that's the primary Erev Min HaTorah, that's the Issa Midaraisa. And where I have a check next to the woman, that means that that woman is permitted. There is no Issa, not on a primary Daraisa basis, not on a secondary Shnios basis. They're perfectly permitted, and one would have had a Hava, meaning that you could go up to the next level and still have that same Issa Darabonu Shnios, sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's the style of my diagrams. So now let's look at this one. The Eishes Achi Ho'av Min Ho'em. This is referring to the person, he has a father, right? The father has a half-brother on the paternal side, so that's the Erev Min HaTorah, his wife, your uncle's wife, a paternal uncle's wife, which is from the grandfather, the father's father. So his father's father's two sons, one is his father, one is his uncle. They only have the same father. They don't have the same mother. Nevertheless, that's an Erva Min HaTorah. The paternal uncle's wife, through the grandfather, that is an Issa D'Araisa. That's the primary Erva. That's Erva Min HaTorah. On the equivalent side, on the maternal grandmother's side, so your father, through his mother, also has a brother, a half-brother, maternal half-brother. So the father, through his grandmother, has a brother, a half-brother. That's your uncle also, but that's your uncle through your father on his mother's side. So this is a father's brother, but it's through the grandmother. And this is not an Issa D'Araisa. But as you see on my diagram, it's exactly parallel. So why should the uncle's wife on one side be an Issa D'Araisa and the uncle's wife on the other side be Heter Gomer? So the rabbi said, this is too complicated. If you allow the uncle's wife on one side through the grandmother's side to be mutter, so then very quickly you're going to have the uncle's wife on the other side through the grandfather's side. That's going to be also, people are going to mistakenly think that that's allowable as well. So therefore, the rabbis created the shnios larayis on the father's brother's wife through his grandmother, his half-brother maternally through the grandmother. So that Erva is an Erva de Rabbanon, and it doesn't go higher, as you see. We'll have in the Gemara, Yeshlam Hefsik. We don't go to the next level, and that's why you see in the box going up, the check mark next to the Eishes Achi Avi Aviv Min Ha'em. That woman is also an aunt. She's a great aunt, and she is not going to be considered a Shnios Larais. We don't extend that upwards. We'll see in the Gemara later on, this will be the first of four that we don't extend upwards. We stop it at this level, we don't extend it upwards. Sometimes we do extend it upwards, as you will see from other diagrams. So this is Eishes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'Ein. I hope this is clear. We go right to the next one. This will be diagram number two. The Eishes Achi Ha'Ein Min Ha'Av. Here we're referring to the Issa Daraisa is not on this level. There'll be a question in the Gemara. You can see where I have a question mark in the diagram as to what the status of that. In the Omid Beis, we're going to ask that woman what her status is. But here we know that an aunt does have an Issa Daraisa. We just proved it in diagram number one, that the paternal uncle's wife through the grandfather, so that was the primary erva. And you can see on my diagram, this is also aligned. This is another aunt that would have been permitted mid Daraisa, and the rabbi set up an erva derabbanan, one of the shnios of the Arias over here. Now, this is a little bit different. This is your mother's brother through the grandfather. Your half-brothers, again, through the grandfather. I tried to make these two diagrams parallel so you can easily see the comparison. They're all on the same level over here, aunt level. And therefore, the rabbis instituted in this situation that your mother's brother through her father, through the grandfather, your maternal uncle, but it's through the grandfather that the rabbi set up also as one of the shnios of Arias. And we'll see the final aunt level. That's going to be the question mark that you see on the other side of this diagram we'll talk about in the Gemara on the Omid Beis. Now, here, if you go up a level to the Eishes Achi Eim Emo, so here we do also not extend this up to the next level. This will be the second case that Rav says we don't extend it up to the next level. We don't make the great aunt one of the Shneos Larais, even though the aunt level for at least three of the four is either a primary Erva Min HaTorah or it's going to be one of the Shneos. And the fourth aunt on the aunt level will be a question, but the great aunt level, we didn't do it in diagram number one and we don't do it in diagram number two. These will be the two of the four cases that we said we don't extend it upwards. It's going to be mafsik, yeshlem hefsik. There is a hefsik over here. This is case two, diagram number two. This is the sixth one that we've listed so far, the shneos larayis. Then the next two are v'kalas bino, v'kalas bito. I don't have diagrams specifically for this because they're easy to understand. Kalas bino is your son's daughter-in-law. In other words, this would be your granddaughter-in-law through your son. And v'kalas bito, the same thing would apply, your daughter's daughter-in-law, your granddaughter-in-law through your daughter. So both of these, the primary erva is your daughter-in-law. That's the Issa Daraisa. But somewhat surprisingly, your granddaughter-in-law would be permitted. Now, this is your granddaughter-in-law, whether it's through your son or your granddaughter-in-law, whether it's through your daughter. And in this situation, the rabbi said, if we allow that, before you know it, you're going to, Rachmana Litzlan, be over the primary Issa Daraisa of Kalosa, of your daughter-in-law. So therefore, the rabbis went along and made the Shneos Larayis, cases number 7 and 8, of Kalas Beno and Kalas Bito. So these are the 8 Shneos Larayis that are listed over here. Now the Gemara says, Umutter Adam, there are permissible relationships that the rabbis did not forbid, even on a Shneos level, even on a Derabbanan level. Umutter Adam, be Eishes Chomiv. A person is permitted to go and marry Eishes Chomiv. That is your father-in-law's Chomiv if he has a wife. Now, this wife is not your mother-in-law. It's your father-in-law. He had a second marriage and your father-in-law's wife. That is not usher to you. The rabbis did not set up a Shneos Larayis for that. They didn't say, well, you can't marry your mother-in-law, so we better not let you marry your father-in-law's additional wife, other wife, Eishes Chomiv. If he divorces her or if your father-in-law dies, you would be permitted to go marry his other wife who's not your mother-in-law. Likewise, Ubiacious Chorgo. Chorgo, this you can now see in diagram number 3, Chorgo is your stepson. Person has a wife, and she had a son from a previous marriage. So Chorgo is your stepson. So Aishas Chorgo, your stepson's wife, is actually permitted to you. You can see this in diagram number 3. This is Mutter. Aishas Chorgo is permissible to you. However, somewhat paradoxically, the Asur Debas Chorgo. If your stepson were to have a daughter, she is Asur to you. In other words, your wife's granddaughter, her son had a daughter. That Bas Chorgo, Chorgo again is your stepson, is forbidden to you. And you can see this in diagram number 3. Rashi points out here, wait a second, this is not one of the Shnios L'Arayas, this is an Issa D'Arayasa. So why is it listed over here? So we'll explain, it's because of this next statement. Because the Chargo, Mutter B'Ishto Ubito, somewhat paradoxically, the son-in-law, and you can see this again in diagram number 3, is permitted with your wife. You were to divorce your wife, it's not his mother, obviously. This is a wife that you have that's separate than the Chargo's mother. And you can see that again, diagram number 3, with the checkbox in the wife of the black box X person. That's the person that we're referring everything around from him. So his other wife is permitted to marry the Chargo. If he were to divorce her, or if the primary person were to die, so the Chargo is allowed to marry his stepfather's wife, or his stepfather's daughter through that wife. Chargo mutar b'ishto ubito would be allowed to go marry the stepfather's wife or the stepfather's daughter. Those are the two circles that have checks inside of them. The Chargo is somewhat paradoxically allowed to marry them. And in fact, the Aishas Chargo or Merislo and the stepson's wife, Aishas Chargo, this is why this is brought over here, even though Bas Chargo is an Isser D'Araisa. So why is it brought over here? This because of this statement. The Aishas Chargo or Merislo, somewhat paradoxically, the stepson's wife says to the stepfather, I'm technically allowed to get married to you. Ubiti, but my daughter, Bas Chargo, is not allowed. Asur l'cha. So this is a paradox that the higher level up is permitted and the generation down is prohibited. So that's why this case is mentioned over here, even though the Bas Chargo is a Daraisa, but it's to teach us this idea that the Aishas Chargo is actually permitted. Okay. Then it tells us exactly what I just said. Bas Chargo Daraisahi. Why is this listed over here as the Shnios L'Arayas? The Siv, as Bas Bino, as Bas Bito. The Torah tells us that your wife's son's daughter or your wife's daughter's daughter, again, they're not your children. This is, she had them through a previous marriage, so they're prohibited to you as an Issa D'Arayas, it says. So why are they mentioned over here in the Shnios L'Arayas? For exactly the reason that I just said, the Gemara tells us. Mishum de Koboy, the Misne Sefer, wanted to tell us this somewhat paradox that the Aishas Chargo or Merislo, Animu Teres Lecho, Biti Asur Lecho, that the Aishas Chargo says paradoxically, while I'm permitted to you, I'm a generation closer to you, my daughter, who's a generation further away, is prohibited to you. I, the Afogav, the Biti Asur Lecho, Midaraisa, and even though my daughter, the stepson's wife's daughter, is an Issa Daraisa, nevertheless, Bididi, Lo Gozabe Rabban, the rabbis didn't make such a prohibition. At my level, they didn't make me a Shnios L'Arayas. And therefore, Tanarei Shanami Bas Chargo, and that's why it mentioned over here, this din of Bas Chargo, even though it's a D'Arayasa, because our point that we wanted to make here is that the rabbis did not create in this situation a Shnios L'Arayas for the Aishas Chargo because of the Bas Chargo. Okay. Gemara says, I hachi, if this is so, that's why the Tana wanted to state this, so then Aishas Chomiv Nami Tema, then you should have had Aishas Chomiv. Now we go to my diagram number 4. Aishas Chomiv means, again, we're starting off with a person that we're referring everything around him. He is the ex black box. So this person's wife had, obviously, a mother and a father. That's his father-in-law and his mother-in-law. Chomiv is his father-in-law. His father-in-law had another wife. So his father-in-law's other wife, not his mother-in-law, but his father-in-law had another wife. So that woman, Aishas Chomiv Nami Tema, can also say, Ani Muteres Lecha, paradoxically, the rabbis did not institute a Shnios L'Arayas to the father-in-law's other wife, and Ubit Yasulach. But there is an Isser over here in the daughter. Your father-in-law's daughter is going to be Usher to you. Bas Aishas Chomiv, Biti Asur Lecha. And the reason for that is not because of the father-in-law, that's because that's his wife's sister through the father-in-law. So therefore, that's why she's also. So why didn't we list this as well? So Gemara says, Ha-psikale, because here it's always clear, in the case that we gave, that Aishas Chargo and Bas Chargo, so that's 100% always true. The Aishas Chargo is always Mutter, and the Bas Chargo is always Aser. And that's why the Aishas Chargo is listed here, because she can say that I'm always permissible to you, and yet my daughter is always not permissible to you. However, in this case over here, with Bas Aishas Chomiv, sometimes she's usher, but sometimes she's mutter. That's why it's not listed here. Halo psikole, because the wife's sister is only an erva while the wife is alive. It says b'chayeha, but rachmana litzlan, when a person's wife were to pass away, so then the wife's sister now becomes permissible. So that's why this one isn't listed over here, that bas eshes chomav, your father-in-law's daughter, which is your wife's sister, is sometimes usher, but could be mutter after rachmana litzlan, if a person's wife were to pass away. So then, in this situation, she's mutter. That's why it's not 100%, and that's why this case is not listed here as well. Okay, we got through a lot so far. Amar Rav, Rav now tells us, arba noshim yesh lehem hefsek. There are four women that we don't go up to the next level. As we've already pointed out, I gave you several of them. We stop at the ant level, but we don't go up to the great ant level. So Rav says there are four such women, arba noshim yesh lehem hefsek, but nokit rav bidei tlos. He only held from three of the four. What are the three of the four? So we had these already in the first two diagrams. Eshes achiho ein min ha'av. You have, this is diagram two, where you see on the ant level, the circle with the dot in it on the right, so that ant was a shnios larayas. But if you go up one level further, Eshes Achi Eim Imo, and if you even go up to the level above that, to the great ant and the great-great ant level, you see there are check boxes next to those ants, the great ant and the great-great ant. So it doesn't go up to that level. It stops. Yesh Hefsek, it stops. That's number one. The Eshes Achi Ho'av Min Ho'eim on the diagram number one, so you see that the great ant level there has a check next to that great ant. That is permissible. The rabbis did not institute the Shnios L'Rayas to the great ant level. And the third one that Rav had is V'kaloso. Kaloso is a primary erva, that's an Issur D'Oraisa, and he instituted it for the granddaughter-in-law. So they instituted it for your son's daughter-in-law or your daughter's daughter-in-law. Those were the third case, where we stop it at the granddaughter-in-law level, we don't go down to the great-granddaughter-in-law level. So those are the three that Rav had. Uziri Mosef, Ziri adds on one more case, which Rav did not agree with, which we'll see in a moment. Af Eshes Avi Imo. And here you can see this in diagram number five. So the Eshes Avi Imo is one of the Shnios L'Arayos, but the great ant on this level is not included. By Ze'iri, that's Yesh Hefsek, it doesn't go up further. So again, to summarize, in diagram number five, you see Ziri's example of one of the Arayos, that's a Shnios L'Arayos, that's Eshes Avi Imo, that's one of the Shnios, but going up a generation to the Eshes Avi Avi Imo, so that is not considered one of the Shnios L'Arayos, and that's called Mafsik, it doesn't go up. So that's the fourth one, according to Ziri. Rav doesn't hold from that. Amr of Nachum bar Yitzchak v'Simonech. How do you remember which is which? The loy de Rav. So the one above Rav. So that's the extra one that Ziri said. The Arayas that Ziri had added on, Rav didn't add on. As Rashi says, Ho the Osif Ziri the loy de Ravu dor echod l'mala mishnios de Rav. The choshev eishes achiya aim v'zu shal Ziri dor echod l'mala. He goes up one generation further and says that that's permissible. An extra generation above Rav. You can see a diagram number five. On the left side, there the Arayas do go up all the way on that side. They keep on going up to the next generation, but on the paternal side, they don't go up to the next generation. That's the fourth and final case according to Ziri. Mori asked the obvious question for Rav, my time a little harsh later. Why doesn't Rav agree? So Rav says, because that could be mistaken with Eshes, the wife of Avi Oviv, the grandfather through the father, so the paternal grandfather's wife, that could be mistaken with that erva. If you said that it doesn't go up to that generation, on the other side, it does go up, so you could make a mistake, and therefore Rav says they go up on both sides, they continue to go up on both sides, where Ziri said, no, it stops on one side, but it doesn't stop on the other side. And the reasoning is that it goes up on that side is that's because the grandfather's wife on the grandmother's side, so that is going to be an erva d'oraisa, and therefore it continues to go up to the next level. When you have a d'oraisa on that side, so he says it continues to go up. Ziri says we don't make that mistake on the other side. Rav says we would be concerned to make the mistake on the other side, and therefore That's why Rab is strict when he says that there is no Havsaka, whereas Ziri says there is a Havsaka. Okay, I hope that's clear. You can see this in diagram number 5. So Gemara says, Ziri's position is, Ziri, lohosum shliach v'yosu, lohocha lo shliach v'yosu. Why doesn't Ziri have the same concern that Rab does? So he says that the likelihood of going to the mother's family side, going up all the way on that side, is just like it. They didn't have as much to do with it as they did with the father's side of the family. And therefore, on the father's side of the family, you have to be concerned, whereas on the mother's side of the family, there was less of a concern. And therefore, he didn't say that you have to be parallel on both the mother's side and on the father's side. Okay, all depends on the likelihood of it occurring. Ziri was not as concerned, Rab was still concerned. Now, previously we said Kaloso. The work continues, and we turn to Chof Aleph of the days. We had said that Kaloso, that's an Issur D'oraisa. So why was that mentioned here? Tichsiv Ervas Kaloscha Lo Sigaleh, that you're not allowed to have Rachmana L'Shan relations with your daughter-in-law. So how come that was included? So we had said that it didn't mean that, it meant Ema Kalas Bino. It's actually talking about your son's daughter-in-law, your granddaughter-in-law. That's the Shneos L'Rayus. And the same thing applied. We had said, with your daughter's daughter-in-law, your granddaughter-in-law through your daughter, the same thing applies there. And you can see this in diagram number 6. Now, the Gemara says, that can't be, because of a Kalas Bino, Yesh Lo Hefsek. Are you telling me that Rav, the third example that he had given, was Kaloso? That meant the granddaughter-in-law level, that there is a Hafsak. It doesn't go below that to the great-granddaughter level. But Kalas Bino, Yesh Lo Hefsek, Votanya. Kaloso Erva, a person's daughter-in-law, that's the Erva Daraisa. And again, you can see this in my diagram number 6. You have the index case. The index person is the black box with the X in it that's colored in. And then you have his son's wife, which is the daughter-in-law. That's Kaloso. That's the Erva Min HaTorah. And then you have, if you go down another generation, to his grandson's wife, so his son's wife, so that's Shneos Min HaRayis, and you do the same thing on the left side of the diagram in number 6. We have his daughter's daughter-in-law, so both of those, the granddaughters-in-laws, either through his son or through his daughter, those are Ervos that are the Shneos that we're referring to over here. But now Rav had said that it doesn't go further than that. The Gemara questions this, it does go further than that. Are you telling me the Chalas Bino Yesh Lahefsik, that the daughter-in-law's from his grandson, his son's daughter-in-law, his granddaughter-in-law from his son's son, the wife of his son's son, his grandson's wife, that's where it stops. It doesn't go down to his great-grandson's wife, but it does. Well, Tanya, Kaloso Erva, his daughter-in-law is the Erva D'oraisa, Kalas Bino Shnia, his granddaughter-in-law, his son's son's wife, that's an Erva, that's Shnios L'arayas. And then it keeps on going. It keeps on going down. On the right side of diagram number 6, you see it goes down forever. So how can you tell me Yesh Lahefsik? So says, no. On the left side of the diagram, it doesn't go down forever. Elamas Kalas Bito, the daughter-in-law from his daughter, his granddaughter-in-law through his daughter's son. So there, the Amar Chista, Hamilsum Migava Rav Shmili, I heard this from a great person. Who is this great person? Umanu Ravami, it was Ravami. And Lo Asru Kalo Elbne Kala. The whole reason why the daughter-in-law was prohibited is because of the daughter-in-law. Ramuli Kadoi, and the Kadoi said to me, figure that out yourself. Milafno Haves, you'll be a great teacher. And Ravami said, I'll either be a great teacher, meaning I'll be a Talmud Chacham, if I become a great Talmud Chacham, I'll figure it out on my own. And if I'm not a great Talmud Chacham, I just become a teacher, and if I end up just being a Talmud, a Rebbe to a Talmidim, to young Talmidim, but I won't be a great Talmud Chacham, I shall be Rabban, I'll ask the rabbis, the also Lebe Knishtu, they come to the base Medrash, and I'll figure it out. Now, Hashto Svartu Midatoy, I was able to figure it out on my own. The whole reason why the daughter-in-law of the daughter is considered to be a Shneos L'arayis is because of the daughter-in-law of the son, Kalas Bino. So therefore, that's a Gzeira. Now, it's both called the same because they're both called granddaughters-in-law. That's why it's not called a Gzeira L'Gzeira, but that's why we only extend it on one side and we don't extend it on the other side. More continues and says, I'm going to buy a Rova, buy a sister Rova, Asbar Aloch. I'll give you examples of these situations. Kagon Kalosa de Rabbit Sai Soi. Rapapa Amar Kigon Kaloso Devei Rapapa Bar Abba, and Ravashi Amar Kigon Kaloso Devei Mori Bar Isaac. These were well-known families to them that exhibited these different types of relationships to show you the contrast between one and the other. Tosus explains in Dibra Masku Ravashi that Kol Chad, each of these Amaroyim, Noket Oso Shoyabiyama. They gave examples that were well-known in their days to illustrate this point of having the granddaughters-in-laws from both the son's side as well as from the daughter's side. There's no chiddush involved in any of them. They just gave practical examples that would help people understand it in their time. Gemara continues and says, they ask the following shayla, mahu. This was the diagram number two that I had, the question mark in the ant. This was the only one that wasn't resolved. We had one of the ants was the Erva min HaTorah. That was the paternal uncle's wife through the grandfather. And then we had the two Shnios Larayos. That was the paternal uncle's wife through the grandmother. That was in diagram number one. And then in diagram number two, all the way on the right, we had the maternal uncle's wife through the grandfather. That was the second of the Arayas. And the last one that we have left is the maternal uncle's wife through the grandmother, Eisha Sachia Aim, Min Ha'Aim. What is her halachic status? And that's what we're going to focus on now. Diagram number two, the question mark ant. So, Eisha Sachia Aim, Min Ha'Aim, Mal, what's her halacha? Is she considered one of the Shnios Larayas or not? So, Gemara says two possibilities. Eisha Sachia Ad Min Ha'Aim, do we compare it to the wife of Achia Av Min Ha'Aim? Diagram number one, the ikut side of, where there is an aspect of the father's side that would be an erva, and therefore, who the gozer rabbanan? There was the primary erva on the father's side, and therefore, we would go there, the shnius larayis on the mother's side. However, avohecha the lekut side of, but in diagram number two, where there isn't the equivalent erva midiaraisa, lo gozer rabbanan. The rabbis did not make such a gzera, an additional gzera, to have that ant, the question mark ant, included in the shnius. Or do we say, oh no, odilma lo shna? Once the ants are included, we include every ant. So Amar Rav Safra, Rav Safra says, wait a second, this is a gzera l'gzera. How do we do this? He gufo gzera, v'ana neko menigzo gzera l'gzera. Why would you even think that this should work? Obviously, we don't make a gzera l'gzera. And the other arayas were already a gzera. Now you should make a gzera to those shnios l'arayas? So Rav says, no, Amar Rava. Atu kulu la gzera l'gzera ninu. We had already said that there were gzera l'gzeras. We said the grandmothers on both sides, we had made a gzera one to the other because of the father's wife. So therefore, we had said in that situation that it was not Xero Xero because they all had the same name, grandmother. And we did the same thing with the grandfather's wife. They all had the same name, grandfather's wife. So therefore, Rava says, that's also Xero Xero, but we didn't consider it that because they all had the same name. So Rava says here too, Imo Erva, Aim Imo Shnia, because Ral Aim Ovid Mishum Aim Imo. Now, these were all because they had the same name. It wasn't Xero Xero. The time of my Kulu Devei Ima Rabasi Korle, because they all were called grandmother, Ima Rabasi. Suoto over here, all of them are considered ants, so therefore, ants by definition are a problem. Alternatively, Aishas Aviv Erva, Rava gives another example. He says, Aishas Aviv Erva, Aishas Avi Aviv Shnia. This is the grandfather case. Because while Aishas Avi Imo, Mishum Aishas Avi Aviv. We had said that all the grandfathers are going to be included in this. It's not Xera Lazera. The time am I, because Kulu Devei Abba Rabba Korole, because they're all called grandfathers, and therefore all the grandfathers are included. So Rava says it's perfectly logical to say that all the grandmothers should be included, all the grandfathers should be included, and all the aunts should be included. As Rava now states, Eishes Achia Av Min Av Erva. That ant was an Erva, as you can see in diagram number one, with the X in the ant. Eishes Achia Av Min Aim Shnia. The other ant is a Shnia. And then we made Xeru, because we're Eishes Achia Aim Min Av, to make that one also because it had the same ant, Mishum Eishes Achia Av Min Aim, because of the other ant that was an Erva. So therefore, the time of my, Mishum Dekulu Devei Dode Karilu, because they're all called ants, uncle's wives. And therefore, this one too should be considered, it's not a gzera l'gzera, but should be considered a shnios l'arayas. So that's the two sides of the coin, and Rav Safra saying that it's a gzera l'gzera is incorrect. Now, what is the halacha? My, the word now is, do we or do we not include in diagram number two, the question mark and, is she included as a shnios l'arayas or not? So Toshma, let's bring a raya. The chiyosa Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, when Rav Yehuda Bar Shila came, he said, Omar, Amri b'marov, and he said in Eretz Yisrael, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us that in Eretz Yisrael they hold kol shebinikeva erva. If you have a woman on that level as a doraisa erva, so bezachar, and then the equivalent male counterpart of that, the wife of the male on that level, bezachar gozru al ishto mishum shnia. So then the equivalent woman who is the wife of the man on that level is considered a shnios larayas. V'amar Rava uklalahu. So Rava questioned, is this an absolute rule? I'll show you that it's not true. Chamoso erva. We have that the mother-in-law is an erva, obviously herself. That's an issur daraisa, based upon the psukim. Eishes chamiv, however, is muteris. But we said that the eishes chamiv is permissible. You can see this in diagram number four, that the other wife of the father-in-law, not the mother-in-law, not the wife's mother, but the other wife, the stepmother of your wife. So that woman is actually permissible. Eishes chomiv muteris. We don't make the same gzeira across the board. Just like the mother-in-law is usser, so too the father's other wife should be usser. So you see that this isn't an across-the-board rule. Chamoso erva, eishes chomiv muteris. Similarly, bas chamoso erva, the daughter of your mother-in-law, bas chamoso, that is considered an erva. However, eishes ben chamoso, but if you have a mother-in-law's son's wife, muteris, that one is not considered. It's on the same level, but that's not considered an erva. Similarly, bas chomiv erva, your father-in-law's daughter, is considered an erva to you, not because of the father-in-law, because she's your wife's sister, but eishes ben chomiv, but the wife of the son of your father-in-law, is muteris. It's not considered. So here you have, again, on the same level, but one is and one isn't. Similarly, chogarto erva. Chogarto is your wife's daughter. Not your daughter, it's your stepdaughter. So she's considered an erva to you. But eishes chorgo, but if your wife had a son, and that son has a wife, so your wife's daughter-in-law, that's technically muteris, permitted to you. Same level, yet one is permitted, one is not. And finally, bas chorgeto, your wife's daughter's daughter. Bas chorgato, your wife's daughter, your stepdaughter, her daughter, your step-granddaughter, is considered an erva. However, on the same level, your wife's grandson's son's son's wife, Eishes ben chorgo, is not considered an erva, muteris. So here we just gave four examples of where on the same level, we did not say that because one is osur, everything else should be osur as well. Now, what is Rav Yehuda Bar Shila coming from Eretz Yisrael telling us? To Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Lasuyemai, what additional cases is he coming to teach us? Isn't it exactly our case of the end? Lav Lasuye, Eishes Achi Ha'em, Min Ha'em. Isn't this talking about the Achi Ha'em, the mother's brother from the grandmother? Again, the maternal uncle's wife through the grandmother. Isn't that telling us the kol shebekeva erva bizachar gazru alishto mishum shnia? So then, shouldn't this be shnios min harayas? And therefore, the answer is that yes, the question mark ant in diagram number two should be usur. But the Gemara says, maishna hani, why are some, yes, on the same level we do make them usur, maishna ha, but those four that we gave, we don't apply this rule. What's the general rule that we apply sometimes and not apply other times? So Gemara says, it depends. Ha bechad kiddushin mikarav la. Honey, ad ikotre kiddushin lo mikarav lahu. It all depends on how many marriages you, so to say, need before the potential problem comes into place. When there's only one marriage, so then we are concerned that you could make the mistake. And therefore, in this situation, we are gozer. But if there are two marriages that need to come into play before you could potentially have a problem, so then the rabbis would not go there on the same level that you should be concerned. As Rashi points out in Dibra Maschol, Ho'eshes Achayayim B'chad Kiddushin Mikruvo, what does that mean? Legabe Dahai B'Kiddushin Shekitsho Achi Imo, when the brother of the mother did Kiddushin, Avol Kol Hanatilea Lo Ikruvo Legabe Adika Tarati Kiddushin. You need another set of Kiddushin, another marriage, in order to get to that same level. So, for example, with the father-in-law, he had to have a second marriage in order for there to be a potential problem. And the same thing would be with every one of the other cases. You needed to have a second marriage. Once you have the second marriage, so then we're less concerned. Where there's only one marriage involved that could lead to the potential issur, so then you are more concerned. And that's why in diagram number two, the question mark, according to this opinion of Rav Yehuda Bar Shela, it would be included as a shnios l'arayis, because there's only one marriage that would be needed in order to make this. You don't need to have a second marriage for a person in order for this possibility to occur. Again, this was extremely complicated. We'll go weiter. Sholach Lei Rav Misharsha Mitusnoyo l'Rapapi, he sent the following instruction. He says, Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, please teach us. Eishes Achi Avi Ha'av, the situation of the wife of the father's brother. Again, a aunt that came up through the grandfather on the father's side. Vachos avi ha'av. And likewise, the sister of the father's father. These are great aunts. Maho. Are they considered shnios l'arayis or not? So do we say midlamata erva lamala nami garzube? Since on the level below them, the ant level, we said that they were arayas. So on the upper level above that, we should also say odilma ha ispalig doras. Or do we say no? It's a different generation. We don't have to be goes there. So toshma mahin shnios. So we said this in the brisa that we had on the omer aleph. There were only eight cases. These eight cases were loko choshev luhu badayu, and they didn't have additional cases mentioned. So Gemara says they're not included. Gemara says no. Maybe Tana Vishir. Maybe there were other cases that were not mentioned as well, and therefore you can't say that that list was all inclusive. So Gemara says my shir the high shayer. What was left over? So Gemara says shayer shnios the beirav chia. There were leftover shnios from rav chia, and this will lead us into tomorrow's shir. We're almost at an hour, so I'm going to stop over here. I know it was very complicated. Chazir it over me. It's Hashem. You'll get it. With this, we conclude today's shir.